3. Such a playful language. Lyme chose not to pursue the young woman. She would not dare return. There was no sign of companions. He had known of her existence. Both the dead librarian and the dead nursemaid had mentioned being interviewed by her, but neither had any idea who employed her. The woman's East Asian appearance made guessing rather difficult. Could it be that even the Chinese were after the same information? It didn't matter. She may alert the gendarme or her masters, but by then his work would be done and he would be back in his hotel room drinking tea and nibbling chocolates. Typhoon continued to lumber towards the door, following Lyme's initial command. "Stupid, brainless lump," Lyme thought. "Stop, Typhoon," he commanded. The thing turned, and his eyes caught the lantern light, giving even Lyme a chill. "Come back to me." The creature slouched back, a slight drag in one leg. He stood right next to Lyme, so close that the formaldehyde stink was overwhelming. "Stand there," Lyme shouted. "There, there, there!" He pointed at a spot a few feet away, and Typhon eventually stomped into position. Of all the tools his masters had given Lyme, this one was a sledgehammer. It had taken Lyme several months of research and inquiries to thoroughly assess the numerous accounts of monster children, first in England, then Germany, and later in France. The French, he was beginning to believe, were especially prone to storytelling. Nonetheless, Lyme had managed to gather those stories and shape them into the truth. Sometimes it had required a few coins, other times more violent means. He had always been gifted at following leads. At the behest of the Clockwork Guild, he was pursuing the parentage of a young man named Modo. He didn't know who Modo was, other than understanding that he apparently had wondrous capabilities, uncanny strength, a quick mind, and the ability to somehow shift his shape and appear exactly like another. Lyme had assumed at first that the shape-shifting was a fabrication, but the more he read and researched, the more he began to believe the stories might be true. He scooped up the paper Father Moget had provided and read the contents. It was a signed document granting a nameless child to the church. It included the old residence of the parents and their intended new residence. As they had chosen to fill out the papers instead of simply abandoning the child on the church steps, they were probably religious and unlikely to lie to the church, especially in writing. The priest had crawled into the shadows. He was the last loose end. But what sort of trouble could he cause? Then again, he had too much information. Though the other buyers he'd mentioned were likely made up in an attempt to raise the price, one could never be certain. "Father Moget," Lyme said, "please show yourself." The room was silent. "Father Moget," he repeated, "I promise not to harm you. You are more valuable to me alive."
"You promise?"
The voice came from behind a desk several feet away. "I do, Father," Lyme said. "I will not harm you. That is my solemn vow." The priest crept out from behind a desk and into the light, what little there was of it. He was pale and shaking with fear. He swallowed. "Typhon, please vigorously break his neck," Lyme commanded.
"But you said you wouldn't harm me,"
the priest squawked.
"I won't,"
Lyme shrugged. The joke was an old one. He was surprised how many fell for it.
"But Typhon will. English is such a playful language."